Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your helps. Thank you for the victories you have given to us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the breakthroughs you have given to us. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for destroying the works of darkness, the weapons of darkness that were formed against us. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for your presence and power that is working in our lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that keeps guiding us and teaching us. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for great plans you have for us. Great plans and great future. Glorious future you have for us. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the revelation of your word that you give us every time we have this Bible study class. We thank you, Lord, because this evening you're going to give us more revelations of your word. Thank you, Lord. I ask, O Lord, that as we will be discussing a lot of things in your scriptures right here, right now, oh Lord, speak to everyone. Minister to every heart. Let there be understanding in every heart. In Jesus' name. Let tonight's teaching help us to grow more spiritually in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We are going to look at another topic this evening. Last week we looked at a topic that says the compensation of pastors and teachers, the compensation of pastors and teachers. That was what we looked at last week. Today, we're going to be looking at missionaries. the work of missionaries. And their wages, the work of missionaries and their wages, the work of missionaries and their wages. Missionaries are quite different. They're not very much different, but their work is quite different from the work of other people, or maybe I should say the work of other ministers in the church. Yeah, their work is quite different and unique. So who is a missionary? Who is a missionary? Just as the name implies, a missionary is a Christian that felt called by God to go on missions for God. A missionary is a Christian that felt called by God to go on missions for God. Now, you might want to ask, what is a mission, or what are missions? The word mission also means specific assignments. Yeah, that is what the word mission or missions mean in the Christian fold, or in the Christendom, or in the church. The word missions actually mean special assignment. Yeah. So missionaries are Christians that felt called by God to carry out specific or special assignment for God. Yeah. And there are people who have understanding of the assignment God has given to them. They have detailed knowledge of what God wants them to do for Him. That is a missionary. So a missionary is someone who knows where God is sending him or her, and he knows what to do when he gets to that location. And he knows the message, what God have given him or her to say to the people. So a missionary has the address of the location God is sending him or her. And not only that, a missionary have the message that he's going to deliver when he gets to those people. And not only that, a missionary knows a lot about what is going on in the environment God has sent him or her, and how to win the souls of the people who have been trapped by darkness, by Satan. So a missionary is not someone that is confused. He is someone that have detailed understanding and knowledge of what God has sent him or her to do. Yeah. He knows every detail. In fact, a missionary knows how much powers of darkness, how much principalities of darkness, how much territorial demons that are prevailing in the environment God has sent him or her to go and preach and win souls. Yeah. So that is why the work of missionaries are quite different from the work of any other minister in the church. Yeah. And we should value these people. Yeah, we should value them a lot. Yeah, because they are men and women who have laid down their lives for the gospel of Christ. So they are men and women who do not care about any other thing than to win souls into God's kingdom. And usually a missionary would leave their comfort zones to fulfill missions for God. Yeah, they would leave their comfort zones. Now, a missionary can be sent to anywhere. Some people, they think if you have the call of a missionary, you have to be sent into a village. Yeah, that God must send you into a village or into a place where they haven't heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ before, or into a place where they have no church. All they do is worship idols. Well, that can happen, but that is not the only, how should I say it? That is not the only thing missionaries do. Yeah. So, God can send them to other places too. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, missionaries don't have to go to villages or some very remote areas where there's no internet network, yeah, or no electricity, no good roads. Yeah, of course God does that. I've been to places like that to do missions for God, places with bathrooms, no places with no electricity, no internet or mobile network. So we can't even make calls or receive calls. If anyone wants to receive calls, there's a location we have to walk to, and then we have to climb somewhere. Yeah, to be able to get a good network to make calls or browse the internet. Yeah, so I've been to those locations because my calling is that of a missionary. That is my major calling. Any other thing I do is just an addition. Yeah, my major calling is a missionary, or how should I say it? My major calling is to go on missions. Yeah, so which I've been on missions before. Yeah, and I'm still going on missions very soon. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, God can send you or he can send anyone to remote places, to villages, to places that is not developed. Yeah, but that is not the only place God sent people to. Yeah, that is not the only place God sent people to. So God can also send his missionaries to beautiful places, to cities. Yeah, just the way he can send his missionaries to villages, he can also send his missionaries to places that look very, very developed. So when you hear about missionary, don't think it has to be a village and then the people have to go there and suffer and have to face a lot of hardships and inconveniences. That is not the only place that God sends his missionaries to. Yeah, so it's not really about the place. It's about the one that is sending them. Yeah, so you don't get to choose. Yeah, you don't get to choose where you want to go. God is the one that will send you. Yeah, for example, in Acts of the Apostles, for those of you that joined late, our topic is the work of missionaries and their wages, that these missionaries deserve to be paid. Yeah, they deserve their wages. So we are looking at their work and how they should be paid. Now, open your Bibles to Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles. 잡다, 백진. Of the apostles, the book of Acts of the apostles, chapter 13. I'm going to read from verse 1. Yeah, I'll open your Bibles to that place, Acts 13. I'll read from verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And these are the names of those prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and then Saul, who later became Paul. Now, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now, this is what missions is all about. It's all about the voice of God speaking, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking. Yeah, now, in that verse 1, you're going to see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, there were 5 prophets and teachers. Yeah, we don't know how many of them were prophets and how many of them were teachers, or maybe each of them were both prophets and teachers. But we have five people here, 5 ministers in this church in Antioch. Yeah, and they were prophets and they were also teachers. Now, as they were ministering to the Lord, that is, they were worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, and they were also doing that with fasting, the Holy Ghost spoke through prophecy. The Holy Ghost spoke, and we don't know the person that gave the prophetic word or the prophetic message, but the Bible said the Holy Ghost spoke. Now, what did the Holy Ghost say? In verse 2, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Yeah, so they were sent by the Holy Ghost, Barnabas and Saul were sent by the Holy Ghost to the Gentile nations. Praise the Lord. So that is what missions is about. Yeah. So Barnabas and Saul became the first missionaries to the Gentiles. The first missionaries to the Gentiles. Or maybe I should say to the Gentile nations. Yeah. Maybe there have been missionaries before now, we don't know, but these are the ones that were on record. Barnabas and Saul, they were sent by the Holy Ghost. So it's not really about which place will I go as a missionary? Or which place should I go? Must I always go to villages or cities or towns? It's about what the Holy Ghost says. Yeah, and it's about where the Holy Ghost is sending you or sending the missionary. Yeah, so the Holy Ghost can send you to a city, and the Holy Ghost can also send you to a remote place, to a village. So it depends on what is in the mind of the Holy Ghost. For instance, in Acts chapter 8, in the book of Acts chapter 8, you're going to see how the Holy Ghost led Philip the evangelist to Samaria. Yeah. And Philip went there and he did great work for the Lord. Yeah, I remember some years ago I wanted to go into full-time missionary work. Yeah, when I say full-time missionary work, I mean I was going to join a missionary organization and be one of their missionaries. So whereas, I mean, joining such organization will give you opportunity to be sent on missions. Yeah, so I was going to really join them, but the Lord prevented me at that time. Yeah, the Lord prevented me. I was going to join them and be going on missions, but the Lord did not allow me to join them. Yeah, he said he still have assignment for me in the church. Yeah. So, anyone that is called to be a missionary should not be concerned about where God will send him or her, but should be concerned about what the Lord says. Yeah. So the Lord is the one to decide where he's going to send you. Yeah. The Lord is the one to decide where he's sending you. So you are not the one to decide where. It is the Lord who decides where he's sending you. Yeah, so this is a simple explanation of what it means to go on missions for God. Yeah, it is the Holy Ghost that sends people on missions. Yeah, and I think one of the reasons why the Lord did not allow me to join the missionary organization I wanted to join some years back, I think one of the reasons is the fact that many of those organizations don't really wait on the Lord to speak and to choose who and who is going on the mission. Yeah, we saw here in Acts of the Apostles chapter 13 that there were five people, but two were chosen for the mission. Now, some of these missionary organizations, which we have them in many churches today, they don't really pray and wait on God to get clear direction from the Lord. They just choose anybody at random. They just choose this pastor, choose that pastor, and then they say, we are sending you to this environment. Go and plant a church there. They don't really pray and fast. They don't really allow the Holy Ghost to speak. So today is more like is the church that is sending people on missions. Is the pastors, the general overseers, sending people on missions. Whereas it should be the Holy Ghost. It should be the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we should wait in prayer and in fasting until the Holy Ghost speaks. We should not just assume that the Holy Ghost is sending us to this place, so let's go. We should let the Holy Ghost lead. Evangelism is not the same as missions. There's a difference between evangelism and missions. Though they work together, but they are not the same. There's a difference, though not very big difference, but there's a difference. Now, you can go anywhere to do evangelism. You can go to the schools, go on the street. You can go to prisons, go to marketplaces. You can go to the hospitals to do evangelism. You can even do group evangelism. You can gather people together, or you do mass evangelism, or you do crusade. Yeah, crusade evangelism. Yeah, evangelism does not really have restriction or boundaries. You can just preach anywhere. You can even do evangelism on the internet, on the social media. Yeah, but missions is not like that. Mission work is very strategic. Yeah, it's not like evangelism. Yeah, mission work is very strategic. Very, very strategic. Yeah. Mission work is like conquering a nation. In those days, if a country is going to fight another country, the army would sit down and plan how they would enter into the country and capture them and conquer them. They don't just mobilize themselves and just attack. They sit down and they try to understand their enemies. They try to understand the strength of their enemies and the weaknesses of their enemies. They try to understand the environment of the country they want to attack. Yeah. They try to understand different gates or borders or openings that leads to that country. So they try to reason and plan how they would enter, when they would strike. Are they going to strike in the morning or in the afternoon or in the night or in the midnight? So they try to plan they try to plan on the kind of approach they would use to engage in battle with the enemy nation. Yeah, with the enemy nation. So mission work is just like that. Though in missions you're not fighting physical soldiers, but you're fighting invisible forces. Yeah. So in missions, you don't just go to anywhere and preach and just do anyhow. You wait in prayer. You wait on God in prayer and fasting to get an instruction, an assignment, yeah, to receive an order from above, from God. And then you need to pray more to get revelations about the land you are going into, the people there, or if it is not a land, maybe God is sending you to a particular place or a particular environment. So you need to wait on God to get revelations about the people there and the kind of darkness, the kind of things that have captured them, how to approach the people, the strategy to use, how to preach to them. Yeah. The kind of message that will enter deep into their heart to save their souls. So you need to wait on God to get all this information. Yeah, before you will now go into the country. And sometimes God can tell you to first go into that environment or village or town or city. God can allow you to first go and spy the land, spy the place, spy the environment. Yeah. And then gather some details, some information about the people, about their spiritual lives, what they worship, the gods they serve. And then you come back to your base and pray more before you will now go officially into the environment to start the work. Yeah, so that's the difference between evangelism and missions. Yeah, and if a church is to go and plant a branch of their church in a place, they shouldn't do it casually. They shouldn't do it carnally. Yeah. They should follow the missionary pattern. They should follow mission pattern. They should not follow evangelism pattern. If we are to plant churches in new environments, in new locations, we should not follow evangelism pattern. we should follow mission pattern. And that is how we'll be able to succeed in planting the church. There are a lot of churches that have been planted and they eventually they close down. Some of those churches, the pastor they put there keep on struggling and struggling to keep the church running, because the way the church was planted was not right. They didn't plant the church well. And, you know, the Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Yeah. So some churches today, they just plant new churches anyhow. They don't follow the mission pattern. Yeah, they don't take time to pray and even hear from God which location they should go and plant the church. Which location, which area. They do not pray to find out. Yeah, and then some of them also, they don't pray to find out who should be sent into that location. Yeah, who is the right person for that mission. Yeah, they did not allow the Holy Ghost to choose the right person. Yeah, so the church is making this mistake I have just explained, especially in regards to planting new churches. Yeah, we make this mistake a lot. Yeah, I think you now understand the work of missionaries. Yeah, you now understand that it is the Holy Ghost that sends people on missions. And also that you can be sent to anywhere. Yeah. The main thing is that you know what you are going there to do. The Holy Ghost have told you the assignment. Yeah, there are people that were sent to secondary schools. The Holy Ghost sent them into secondary schools to do assignments for him. So some of them, because of the weight of the assignment, they had to enroll in that school as a teacher. Now, their aim was not to go and make money, to go and earn salary. Of course, they would pay them salary, but that wasn't the aim. The aim is to take the school for Jesus, to capture the souls of the students and other teachers for Jesus. So they applied for a teaching job in that school. And after they got selected, they began to do the work that the Lord has sent them. Yeah, so that is not a village. That is just a school, a secondary school. So a missionary can work anywhere. Yeah. a missionary can work anywhere for the Lord. So it's all about understanding the assignment that God has given you to do in a specific location that, you know, that have certain people there that God wants to use you to sing. Yeah. So that is the work of missionaries. So we have missionaries everywhere. We have them in the hospitals. You might not know them, except they tell you that they tell you they have been sent here for an assignment. You might not know them. We have secret missionaries. Yeah, secret missionaries. Missionaries that you can't know that they are missionaries. Yeah, like we have secret missionaries in some Arab countries, some Islamic nations where they don't allow the gospel of Jesus to be preached. They don't want to hear anybody say they are Christians. So we have secret missionaries in those places who are secretly doing work for the Lord. Yeah, so missionaries can go anywhere to do missions for God. Anywhere. They can function anywhere. Yeah, but what stands out is the fact that they have understood the mission. So they know why they are going to where they are going. And they also have been given the strategies to use to conquer the souls of the people there for the Lord. Yeah. So anybody can be a missionary. Even you can be a missionary. If you really have the body for souls to be won into God's kingdom, you can decide to change your pattern of winning souls. Maybe you have been doing evangelism. You can decide to tell God and say, God, I want to do this evangelism in a missionary way. Yeah, I want to do it in a mission pattern. Yeah, you can tell God that you want to do your own evangelism in a mission pattern or according to missions. And then the Holy Spirit will begin to guide you. Yeah, the Holy Spirit can first tell you to go into fasting so that you can be able to receive a direction from heaven. Yeah. This is not a mission class, so I'm going to stop. Up here concerning the work of missionaries. So let us move to some verses that I have here. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, 37 to 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You can see, this is Jesus talking here. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Though, if you look at this verse, and then you look at the situation of the world right now, you're going to see that it appears as if we have a lot of churches everywhere. We have a lot of ministers of God, a lot of men and women of God. And yet here, Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now, you might want to ask the question, like, are the laborers really few? Because today, we seem to have thousands and millions of preachers and Christian workers. Yeah, so you might be asking, are the laborers still few? The truth is that the laborers are still very few. Now, I'm going to explain. In that verse 38, Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You can see, it says, into his harvest. And then in verse 37, it says, the harvest truly is plenteous. Now, many preachers today think they know God's harvest. They think they know his harvest, but they don't. Yeah, and many of them are not really looking for souls to win. Yeah, many pastors out there, they are just looking for crowds. They are not looking for souls. They just want to have thousands of congregations. They are so excited when they see that all the entire church building is filled up with people. And even on the outside of the building, there is still a lot of people. They call it overflow. Yeah, so they get so excited when everywhere in the church is so filled up to capacity. And then, even outside the church, people are looking for places to sit down. Then, they get so excited. Yeah. And some of them, when they see such crowd, they try to hide the truth when they preach from the pulpit. because they feel like, I don't know what I'm going to say now that will offend these people, and maybe during the next meeting they would not show up. Yeah, so majority of preachers today are just looking for the crowd. They are not looking for the harvest, but for the crowd. Yeah, so even today the laborers are still few. Let me read it for you again. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38. Or maybe I should start from verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, Jesus saw their spiritual condition, not just their physical condition. He saw the condition of their souls. Verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous. Yeah, so Jesus knows the harvest. He knows where the harvest is. He knows those souls that are ripe for harvest. We don't know those souls, but Jesus knows those souls that are ripe for harvest. Yeah, and he wants to send laborers to go after those souls and harvest them into his kingdom. Yeah, so that is why we have to pray, so that he will send us into his harvest. So we should not assume we know. So you can't just wake up and say, I think I need to go to China and win souls for God. Is that place you're going, is it where the Lord's harvest is? Are the souls ripe enough for harvest? So it takes time for souls to be ripe for harvest. Sometimes it could take 20 years for some souls to be ripe for harvest. Yeah, that is why we do intercessory prayers for nations. Yeah, there are people that God have told them to be praying for a particular nation for the past 10 years. For the past 10 years, they have been praying for a particular nation. Yeah, the first year, second, third, fourth, fifth. So they continued to pray for that nation. And when the time was ripe, God said, now, gather the people. Gather your missionary team. Now go into that nation and preach. Now, for 10 years, they were praying for the souls in that nation. They did not go and preach. They were just praying. So it takes time for souls to ripe for harvest. Just as you plant something in the ground, and then it takes time for that thing to grow and, you know, produce fruits. And even the fruit, it takes time for the fruit to ripe. Yeah. So only Jesus knows where his harvest are. That is why we need missionaries. Yeah, that is why you should be a missionary. Because you'll be able to pray and understand where Jesus' harvest are. And Jesus will be able to send you exactly to that place where his harvest are. And you'll be able to go and harvest the souls into his kingdom. There are some pastors who felt God has sent them to somewhere. They went to that place and they suffered. Everything was just turning against them. The work they went there to do did not prosper. The souls did not repent. The souls in that place did not repent. They did not surrender to Jesus. They started a church. Eventually the church closed down. So many of them, they got so frustrated. Some of the pastors even backslidden. They backslidden and they went back into the world. Because the frustration was so high. Yeah. So we need to really pray to the Lord to send laborers into his harvest. Yeah, I pray that the Lord will give you more understanding. Yeah, if many pastors today are targeting souls, the world would have become a better place. But it is obvious that many are not targeting souls. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with having crowds coming to your church or coming to your meetings. Yeah. God can mobilize crowds to your church. But God expects that from those crowds, from those multitudes, you are able to win some into his kingdom. Because not all of them that want Jesus. So many of them, they only want what Jesus can give them. They don't really want Jesus. Yeah, but today it is obvious that our preachers are not targeting souls. They are just targeting the numbers. They want to have large congregation. Yeah, and that is wrong. So we still need laborers that would target souls and not crowds. Yeah, those laborers are not many. Yeah, they are few. Those that are really after the souls of men, they are very few. So we need more of people like that. Yeah. Those of us that are after souls, we don't mind having just one member. Yeah. Those of us that are after souls, we don't mind opening a church and just having one member in attendance. Because we know the value of just one soul in heaven. Yeah. So if I can have just one member that is really ready for heaven, really wants to be saved and to live a pure life, a holy life before God, honestly, I'm very satisfied with that. I'm very happy with that. Than to have crowds that are actually not serious with their spiritual lives. I'm okay with one member that is serious than crowds that don't really want God, but only want miracles. Yeah, than crowds that they don't really want to know God and please God. Yeah, I don't want such crowds. I want crowds that really want to know God. Yeah, but unfortunately, we can't have much that really want to know God in these last days. Of course, we have many that want to know God and that really want to be saved. But larger number really want miracles. They don't want salvation. Larger number of people going to church today, or more percentage of people going to church today, don't want salvation. They only want miracles. Though some of them would come out for altar calls and then they would say the salvation prayer. Yeah, when the pastor said, repeat after me, say Lord Jesus, and then they say Lord Jesus, I acknowledge I'm a sinner, and then they repeat by saying, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. You know the salvation prayer. So they would come out and they would say the salvation prayer, but they actually don't want salvation. They want something else. They don't want salvation. Yeah, they don't. They just want the physical blessings, the physical miracles. Yeah. So we need to really understand how these things work. Yeah. I mean, how soul winning work. I pray that the Lord will give you more understanding. In Jesus' name. Let us look at another scripture. John chapter 4, verse 35 to 36. John chapter 4, 35 to 36. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruits unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Praise the Lord. So Jesus was telling the disciples that they should not think they still have more time to the day of harvest or to the time of harvest. That is, they shouldn't think they still have more time to wait for harvest to come or for harvest season to come. He was telling them to lift up their eyes because the harvest is already ripe. Yeah, so even now as I'm talking to you, the harvest is already very ripe for those who will pray. Yeah, for those who will pray and ask God to show them where these harvests are. The harvests are very ripe. Even in your location, where you are living, in your environment, in your community, the harvest is right there and is already very ripe. Yeah, and God is waiting for you to seek Him so that He can lead you to where this harvest are, and so that you can harvest the souls into His kingdom. Yeah, so let us pray that God will send us into His harvest. Yeah, just as He sent the disciples, even now He wants to send you and I into His harvest. Yeah, you can just go out and do evangelism, but that is just based on, that one is just based on your passion, your zeal for God. Yeah, but there's another way of doing it. And that is the one I'm talking about here. That is when God specifically leads you to where the harvest are. Because the harvest is ripe already. So this one is beyond you just following your zeal and passion. This one is you intentionally telling God to send you to where His harvest are, so that you can go and harvest those souls. Yeah, and God will begin to lead you, and He will begin to give you strategies. Yeah, that was how Jesus did His ministry. Jesus would know when someone would be in a place, and Jesus would go there, and He would be there right on time, like He was when he went to that place, and that place that the Bible called the well of Jacob, where he met the Samaritan woman. Jesus knew he was going to meet someone, and he made sure he was right there. At that moment, the person was there as well. Yeah. So God can lead you that way. He will lead you strategically to a place, and he's going to tell you you're going to meet certain people there, and he's going to tell you exactly what you are to say to them that would win their souls eventually. Yeah, if you can seek God for directions, he's able to lead you in this way. So this is what missions is about. Yeah. And then Jesus said something in that verse 36. John chapter 4 verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruits unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Yeah. So missionaries all deserves wages, and God is the one who provides for them through people. So God can do it through the church they attend. He can provide for them through the church, and then he can provide for them through other means. He can provide for them even through the people he sent them to, or he has sent them to. Yeah, God can provide for them through the people he sent them to go and preach to. Yeah. And then there is he that sows, and then there is he that reaps. Yeah. The harvest don't just appear. There are those that have sown, and there are those that will reap what others have sown. Now, God can decide to use you to sow the seed of the word, and then he can decide to use another person to reap the harvest of what you have sown. I don't know if you get it. God can use you to go and preach to someone, and God knows that that person is not going to repent at that time. So whatever you say to that person, you are just sowing. Yeah, you are just sowing. God can tell you to start praying for someone, start praying that the soul of that person be saved. That is also sowing. Yeah, though it might take time before the person will eventually repent, but sowing has been going on through prayers and through preaching. Yeah, so it's not everyone that we preach to that will repent eventually. But we need to continue to sow the word of God into their heart. We need to continue to preach to them So if you visit them once, you need to visit them again and again and again and again. Yeah. So the time will come that you that have been sowing will reap, or someone else will now be able to reap that soul for God's kingdom. Yeah. So whatever you do in preaching and teaching is not a waste. You are actually sowing. You are sowing into the lives of the people. Now let us also look at First Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10. First Corinthians 9 verse 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Yeah, this verse is talking about the ability of God to bless the missionary through the same people he have been sent to. Yeah. Just as I said earlier, God can bless the missionary in a very great way through the same people that God has sent him to. When I say bless, I'm talking about physical blessings, material blessings, financial blessings. Yeah, God can actually bless the missionary through the same people he sent them to. Yeah, we have a lot of examples like that. But the missionary must not do the work because of the physical blessings. He must do the work with a pure and sincere heart because he wants to win souls for God. So he must not do the work because of the physical blessings that would come from it eventually. But he must do the work because he wants to save souls into God's kingdom. Why? The reason is because most times the physical blessings don't come immediately. It might take some years before the people will start to Yeah, so which is why many missionaries, when they go on missions, they try to do some jobs. Most times, jobs that maybe I should call those kind of jobs personal businesses, not the kind of job that you go in the morning, you come back in the evening, not working for for an employer. But these missionaries, they try to have personal businesses. Yeah, more like becoming an entrepreneur. Yeah, they try to have personal businesses that is bringing in income to them. So that's why some of them, they try to learn some skills. Yeah, some vocation that they can do to earn money. Yeah, because it is not immediately they start to preach to the people in that location or environment that the people would start to give them material things. It might take years before that will happen. Yeah. So it is wise for missionaries to show signs that they are not depending on the people for their survival, that they are not depending on the people God has sent them to win for survival. So we must demonstrate that sign. We must demonstrate that impression. Yeah, because if you are doing the work and then you are giving the people impression that they have to take care of your physical needs, you are going to create barriers to winning their souls. Yeah, because they would think you're just doing the work for money. Yeah, so we have to be wise. Yeah, when it comes to the work of soul winning. So even Apostle Paul did the same. Yeah, even though he knew that it is the right of these people to take care of my physical needs, but he knows that it will be wrong to depend on them. In fact, he told those people that follow the same example. He was, if you read some of the letters, he was reminding them that when he came to them, he was not asking anything from them. Yeah, that he was even blessing them, giving to them. Yeah, that he taught them how to walk with their hands to earn money. Because he also walked with his hands to earn money when he went to that country or environment to preach. Yeah, to show them an example that they also should follow, that they should follow the path of hard work and diligence. Yeah, so a missionary should not depend on the people God has sent him to or sent her to. The missionary should depend on the God who has sent him or her for provision. Yeah, so God can decide to use the people, but usually it will take some time before the people start responding in terms of physical gifts or financial support. Yeah, so before those people will start responding, it is advisable that the missionary also walk with his hands in that environment to earn income so that he will not he or she will not be a stumbling block to those people or to the salvation of those people. Yeah, so this is a wise thing to do. Let us look at the last scripture before I will round off the teaching. Let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 13 to 14. First Corinthians 9:13-14. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Yeah, I think we read these verses last week. Yeah. But let me read verse 12 for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. You can see Paul was talking about other people, other ministers who came to this Corinthians church, and they were taking a lot of money from them, taking a lot of physical things, a lot of physical or material things from them. And these were not the people that planted the church, because it was Paul and his missionary team that planted the Corinthian church. Yeah, so these people were not there when this church was planted. They just came briefly and then they start to collect money from the people. They try to gain from the people. And Paul was telling them here, he said, if these people come to you and they were using their power, I mean, they were using this power that if anyone blesses you in spiritual things, the person should reap your physical things. Yeah, so he was reminding them that they did not use that power. They know it is their right. According to the will of God, they know it is their right to reap material things from them after blessing them or preaching the gospel to them. They know it is their right to expect such things from them, to expect financial support from them. But Apostle Paul said that they refused to use that power. Why? This is the why. In the later part of verse 12, it says, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Yeah. So which means using that power and actually hinder the gospel. What is the power we are talking about here? The power that I am your pastor and God have used me to bless you spiritually. God have used me for you to win your soul, to enlighten you, to lead you to Christ. So I deserve that. you take care of my physical needs. Yeah, and you have to do that. Yeah, so that is the power we are talking about here. So Apostle Paul was saying that if they use that power, they have not sinned. Because according to the Bible, that is the plan of God. That the people that have benefited from the spiritual things, ministered to them, should also respond by giving physical things to the ministers. Yeah. But he said they refuse to use the power because it can hinder the gospel. Yeah, it can create barriers to the gospel. Because eventually the people, or maybe I should say, Satan will now start working in the minds of the people. And Satan will now start giving the people impression that these people, they just want our money. These people have just come for our money. Yeah. And just like today, some people, they will tell you and they will say, oh, this church thing is all about money. Yeah, all that these pastors want is your money. If you don't have money, you are not important to them. But when you have money, you become so important to them. So some of them will say, why do I need to go to church? If all they want in the church is just my money. Yeah, so they would say they don't need to go to church, that they would rather go and get a lot of that money. Yeah, because that is also what the church is looking for. Yeah, so you can see the perversion that Satan have done to those people. He have twisted their minds. So now they would say church and Christianity is just all about money. Yeah, because if I go to the church meeting, they keep asking for money. And they will always keep asking and asking and asking for money. So why go? Why can't I just go and make money? Yeah, so this is how much the issue of money and of block the souls of some people from receiving the gospel and from being saved. Yeah, so this is why Apostle Paul said they refuse to use the power. But the fact that they refused to use the power doesn't mean that the Corinthians should be foolish. It doesn't mean that the Corinthian brethren should now hold their hands. Yeah, they should know their responsibilities. They should know that they need to support, that they needed to support the people God used to connect them to His kingdom. They should know their responsibilities. So missionaries deserve to be paid. They deserve their wages. And we need to give them their wages. In as much as God have used them to save souls. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. We have really spent a long time. If you have questions, if you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram platform, or you can ask me personally. I know some of you were having internet connection issues. So if you notice that you missed some parts of this teaching, make sure that you listen to the audio all over again, because I'm going to put the audio on the platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for everything you have exposed to us. Thank you for showing us how the work of missions is to be done. Thank you for showing us how much you want to use us to take nations for Jesus, to take cities, villages, towns, communities, to take everywhere human beings can be found for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for showing us these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for showing us how we can receive instructions, directions, and messages from you concerning where to go and preach and how to do the preaching, and the methods to use, the strategies to follow in drawing souls out of darkness into your light. Thank you for showing us how to do these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you transform our lives into faithful missionaries in the name of Jesus. Make us your missionaries in these last days. Give us missions to do for you. Give us assignments to do for you, so that your will can be done in the earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.